Father. Our Father, God. Now, if God is our Father, we're His kids. We are His children. It has to be. And I am convinced that He has always known this. But you and I individually have to find it out. We have to make this great discovery. Now, many people say to me, but Chuck, if there is a loving God, as you seem to think there is, how come He let you burn in hell for 10 long years? And I think it's very simple. God loves us enough to allow us to make our own mistakes, that we might the sooner run out of our own resources and come back home to the living God that made us. Now, I don't even think this is something added. I don't think it's a special dispensation or a special grant from some far-off deity, something that might light on us or miss us. I think rather that it's an uncovering of something that's always been there. You know, a few hundred years ago, several hundred, there was a monk by the name of Brother Lawrence. And in talking to one of his troubled friends, he said to him, if you would find God, look deep within yourself, because it's the only place you're ever going to find Him. And then there was a carpenter a couple of thousand years ago. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. He said, it's not in the mountains, it's not in the temple, it's not in Jerusalem, it's right here. He said, it is not I, but the Father in me, He does the works. Now, how is a monkey like me going to look deeper in himself? He's got some oneness to wash. He's got some wreckage of the past to clear away. He's got to dig out. He's got some uncovering to do. And how does he do them? How does he do this? By the application of these 12 steps to his very own life. By the surrender, the recognition of the need for help, by the inventory, by the becoming willing to have God remove these defects. By the amend steps. All of these we apply to ourselves. And we clear away the wreckage of the past. And pretty soon we can look deep within ourselves and find ourselves and each other and our very own God. This is the most fabulous thing that could ever happen to anybody. I think you and I, the alcoholics of this world who have found this way of life, are the most fortunate segment of the human race. I do not believe anybody is as fortunate as we. Because, you see, we did this thing our way, just as long as we could live our way. And by the accident of total failure, we discovered the thing we have been searching for all our lives. That we were always living yonder, yonder, yonder. And we can't find it yonder. We find it where it is. Right here. And I'm going to close this little talk by giving you my own interpretation of one of the parables. A parable that I've come to love so much. A parable that shows me on the way down and on the way back, and shows me you, and shows me our relationship to our Father. Now, I've known this little parable all my life. I can't remember when I didn't know it. But up until I'd gotten sober in this fellowship, it was about somebody else. And it was only after I came to see it as my story that it became so meaningful. And so it is with this book of ours. As long as you're reading about me on these pages, it don't mean much. But when you're reading about yourself, it's very meaningful indeed. And so this little parable goes something like this. A certain wealthy man, God, had two sons, you and I. And the youngest one of them came to his dad, and he says, "Dad, give me my inheritance. I want to go out to California. I got me a lot of big plans. I'm going to cut me a big swath out there. Give me my inheritance." Now the father didn't say, "Wait a minute, son. We got everything we need right here. We're working. Stay home. You get away from home out there and you're liable to get in trouble. You might run into a blonde with a bottle of muscadoodle and get into a lot of trouble. Stay home." Now, he didn't say that. He didn't argue with the kid at all. He gave him his inheritance. And the kid went away from home into a far country, consciously separated from the family, God. And wasted his substance on riotous living. Now, maybe you didn't do that, but it sounds suspiciously like me. And after he'd spent all the rows about his famine in the land, then as serious as this is, it just tickled me to death. If there's any group of people, any place that should understand the famine, it's us. How about forget a famine, kid? You come out of that drunk and everybody in town's looking for you. You're as hot as a two-bit pistol, you know. And half of them are trying to bank one of your checks with a tennis racket. I don't think you make famines like that no more. There rose a mighty famine in the land, and the kid came to want. So what'd he do? Come back home? No. He did just like you did, just like you did, just like I did. He went to a man in that country. We went to the doctor, to the psychiatrist, to Timbuktu. He went to a man in that country. And the man put him to work, and of all the things he might have put him to doing, he didn't. He put him to tending the pigs. Now this is very significant. Very significant. Because you see, this is a Jew boy telling this story, and they don't like pigs. They just don't like pigs. And there isn't anything that would be worse for a Jew than to be in a pig pen. And so he's telling us the old boy was down. He was getting pretty low, that old boy. We've got a name for it, we call it a low bottom. And so he put him to tending the pigs, and while he was in the pig pen there, he got hungry. And he fain would eat the husks that the pigs did eat. And no man gave unto him. What a line. We got a line just like it. You see, it's beyond human power. And we got a line like that. Probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. Same thing. And so, as good as that line is, the next one is better. While he was in this condition, he came to himself. He came to himself. And I remember that morning in January, 1946. When with a little period of sanity I saw me as I was, without an excuse in the world. And so the kid came to himself and he says, I'm a bad boy, I'm a sinner, I'm no good. I have lost the battle of life. I am at the end of my resources. And he remembered something. He remembered that in the father's house was plenty and to spare. But he says to himself, just like the alcoholic, I can't go back there and tell him to take me on as his son. Look, Dad, here I am. He couldn't do it. And I am mindful of my early days when I didn't think that I could even hope for any help from the power greater than myself. I didn't think he liked me any better than I did. And I hated my internal workings. And so the kid says to himself, I can't go back. And so here I am, Dad. But, says he, the servants back there are more than I. I'm going back and ask if you'll put me on as a hired servant. And so he made a decision. He says, I will arise and go to my father. And Lord Ryan goes like that. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Same thing. And so he made the decision and he started home. And here to me is the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous. Here is the great miracle of AA. The guy starts home and his father saw him a long ways off and came to meet him. What a wonderful life. And the father saw me a long ways off and came to meet me through you who had already found your way. And of course the kid tried again to tell his dad what a failure he was, what a bad boy he was. And the father didn't say, yes, I know, kid, I've got the dope on you right here, I've got the record. And you sure are a stinker. Now get the grubbing hole and get back here on the back 40, and maybe if you do a pretty good job 25 years from now, I'll invite you in to have lunch with me. No, he didn't say that. He didn't even hear the guy. He fell on his neck and kissed him. And he put a ring on his finger, the symbol of eternal life, no beginning and no end. And he called to the servants. And he says, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. The boy was lost. And he's come back home. That God could and would if he was sorry. It's not normal for us to walk alone. I walked alone for 42 years. It's cold outside. It's normal for us to walk down the high road of life with our arms around each other, sharing our experience, strength, and hope one with another in love. This is normal. It's not normal to be away from the Father's house. It's normal to become, as little children, totally dependent on this great thing. Now, finally, everything's good with me. Everything in life is good with me. I haven't had a drink for 18 years and 4 months. I haven't had to have a pill for 18 years and 4 months. My family was put back together. I've got the same family that I used to have. My health was put back together. As far as I know, I'm very healthy. My business life was put back together. And it's very good. And so all things are good with me. But you're living with the most dependent man you'll ever see. I am totally dependent test on you, the people of Alcoholics Anonymous, on our program, and on my God. Totally dependent. But it is not a dependence of fear. I haven't been afraid since that night when I woke up to the fact that I was sober 6 months after I got here. So it isn't a dependence of fear. It's a dependence of certainty. It's my business to walk in this way. And it's God's business to take care of me. And I don't have to tell him how. I don't have to tell him how I want it served. All I got to do is thank God and pass the admonition. It's fascinating. It's consuming. It gets better every week of the work. And for a certainty, I know it gets better for 18 years and 3 months. Because I never had it so good. I never had it so good. This is the only good life I have ever known. The only easy life that has ever been mine. And I am so grateful I can't see. I can't hardly talk about this thing without bawling. And next to sobriety itself, it's what it's done for my relationship to people like you. You have grown so dear to me that I can hardly stand it. I wish I could take every drunk on earth on my lap and rock him to sleep. Because, you see, at long last, I have come to see that God is people. And how wonderful it is to walk with the likes of you. And how on every occasion, when I'm going home, I'm looking at my experience with you. I think I know what the two disciples meant after the carpenter joined them and walked with them for a while and then disappeared. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us and talked with us by the wayside? It's no chore for me to come here. I love this program. I love its people. And I love my God who has allowed me to walk this little way with you. God love you all. Thank you very much.